Welcome to the Declaration Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us. We pray that today's message encourages you and blesses you. If you'd like to connect with us, please visit us at declaration.org.
Good morning, Declaration Church. Thanks for joining us this morning. Wasn't worship amazing? Today is a great day. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. I just want to take a minute and say thank you to all of the men and women serving in our military that have given their lives for our freedom. I know that today I stand on this stage and I get to proclaim the name of Jesus because of their sacrifice. And I'm so thankful. I never take that for granted. I love our armed services. And for those, all those out there, all of you that are currently serving and have served, I just want to go ahead and say thank you to you as well. I know that I get to do my job because of you guys. So thank you so much. Today, we are going to look at Pentecost. And Pentecost is actually next Sunday, but we want to look at it this week. And we want to look at what we should be doing right now and what we should be expecting in a new season that's coming, because there is a new season coming. And so I want to recap Acts chapter 2, which was the day of Pentecost after the crucifixion of Jesus. I'm going to recap that, and then we're going to go through some of the things that we've seen leading up to Pentecost so that we know what we should be doing right now and what we should expect and what I believe we should expect following next Sunday. So in Acts chapter 2, you know that Jesus has been, he's been crucified. He was resurrected. He spent 40 days appearing to the disciples, showing up, walking through walls, letting them touch the scars and the holes in his wrists. And he was doing that to validate, to reveal himself and to validate everything that he had said. He was verifying, no, I really am the Son of God. I really am the Savior. Yes, I really was alive. Yes, I really was crucified. And yes, I really am resurrected and alive today. And then he tells them, hey, go into Jerusalem and wait there, and you're gonna receive the promise from the Father. And when you do, you'll be empowered. You'll be empowered to go out to all the nations and make disciples. So that's essentially what was leading up to Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, you see the disciples for 10 days, Jesus ascended after 40 days of appearing to them. 10 days, they are in Jerusalem waiting. And they're just waiting because Jesus said, wait. In fact, let's look at Luke 24, verses 44 through 49. He told them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. This is a key verse right here. We're going to come back to it. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And look, I am sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. He told them to go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Listen, Jerusalem was the last place they wanted to be. They just saw their leader taken, beaten beyond that, recognized as a man, and crucified. And they know that the political unrest is, if anyone is aligned with him, the consequences could be drastic. It could be life and death. So Jerusalem is the last place they want to be. There's panic, there's fear. It sounds a lot like today. Now, we don't have the same level of panic and fear right now, although I would say some might. Some might be fearing for their lives during this time of the quarantine, of the virus. Some are in seeing the political unrest and what's going to happen to the country. So it's very similar. And it's the same time frame. This all started before Passover, just like it did with Israel in Exodus. And they were all quarantined. And then they had Passover. And then they were let go from being slaves. And they had a time of in between from being let go from Egypt as slaves and being led into the promised land, a time of in between. The disciples see Jesus crucified, and then for 40 days he reveals himself and then says, go into the city, the last place they want to go, and wait. And they have no idea how long it's going to take them to receive the promise. They just know they're supposed to wait. They have a time of in between. And today, right now, we are wondering how long this is going to go on. We are wondering, are we going to return to normal? Is there going to be a normal? My question is, do we want to return to normal? Because I believe a new season is coming. A new season for the church is coming. We are being called right now to wait. Right now, we're being called to wait. And I believe a significant thing is going to happen from God next Sunday, whether we see anything in the natural realm or not. I believe in the spiritual realm, God is calling us to wait for a period of time until next Sunday when we hit Pentecost. And I believe on that day, there will be a shift in the spiritual realm. And I believe we'll see it through boldness. That's what I believe. That's my personal belief. I have nothing to go off on that. But we don't know what it's going to look like. All we know is that we've been called to wait. And I believe right now we've been called to wait to count the cost. Because the new season that's coming is going to come with a cost. Jesus said to be my disciple, this was in Luke 14, to be my disciple, the cost is everything. You must lay down your life and pick up your cross to be my disciple. The cost is everything. The question is, are we going to be a church that wants to run back to normal? Are we going to be a church that wants to run back to let's get comfortable? Are we a church that's going to want to run back to No, we want our country club back. We want our country club church back, where we have members and everybody has a say and we get to do, you know, what makes us feel good. Or are we going to be a church that says, no, we're waiting for God to move. And when God moves, we have abandoned everything. We have given up we've given up our lives completely to follow him. And to do what he's called us to do. Are we going to be a church that's going to settle for a good performing church? Or are we going to be a church that's looking for a God-empowered church? Are we a church that's going to look for something that's really entertaining? Or are we going to pursue after the real anointing of the Holy Spirit? That's where we are. That's this time that we're in right now. We're being called to wait, to count the cost. And the question is, are you willing to wait? And are you willing to give up what you have known to go after a promise that you don't know what it looks like, but God is saying it's better than you could ever imagine? So right now we're in this series called A Church Defined. And a church defined, especially right now, is a church that is called to wait. We are being called to wait right now and count the cost. So, we know what we should do right now. Wait. Pursue after God, pursue after the Holy Spirit. We really need to take this time and begin to grow our relationship with the Holy Spirit, one-on-one, in the secret place, in our prayer closet, in our families. What can we expect? I want to look at a few things that we can expect in this new season that's coming. In this new season that God's bringing, and he's asking us to count the cost, because it's going to cost us to enter in with him in this new season. It will cost us, but what can we expect? A church defined will be a church filled with power. A church defined will be a church filled with power. And I'm talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10:38, it says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, going out and doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Listen, if the Son of God, one of the Trinity, needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go out and fulfill his call, his purpose, we need the anointing. We've got to have it. We've got to go to God and say, God, I need your anointing no matter what the cost is. I've counted the cost. The cost is everything. Then I lay it down. I need you to fill me. I know the Holy Spirit is in me. I need you to fill me to overflow and let your anointing move. Because we've been given the same mandate that Christ was given. He said, all authority has been given to me, and now I send you. We have the same mandate that Christ has. We absolutely need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is the lie of the enemy to say that you don't need the anointing. It's the lie of the enemy to say it's not really all that real, or it's not that great. It's the lie of the enemy that says the Holy Spirit doesn't move today. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, no more. It's the lie of the enemy. Because what the enemy wants to do is, if he can keep his church, not his church, sorry. If the enemy can keep God's church, the big H is, if the enemy of God can keep God's church from being empowered and keep us operating in our own talents and our own gifts and our own abilities, well, the enemy can run us around ragged. And if I'm going to be really honest, I think that's what he's been doing. I think the enemy has just been toying with us, keeping us from stepping into the empowerment. The anointing will cost us. There is a cost to it. There is a denying. We must deny ourselves to live the life that God called us to live. Look at Luke 9:23-24. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, gives up everything, gives up the cost is everything, loses his life because of me, will save it. We must deny our fleshly desires and give up everything. There must also be an emptying of us to be filled. That's just common sense. To fill anything, it must be empty. So we have to empty ourselves of our desires and then let the Holy Spirit come in and fill us to overflow. Look at Philippians 2:7-8. Instead, he, meaning Jesus, emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. If our Savior, if our Lord stepped on this earth and emptied himself of everything that he was, meaning the Godhead. Now, he was part of the Godhead. He never denied who he was, but he did deny the benefits of being God. He lived his life as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. If he did that, We must do that as well. We must empty ourselves. And listen, for the anointing to come, there must also be a crushing. So in the Old Testament, they made anointing oil and they used olive oil. And the only way you can get olive oil is you have to crush the olive. That's the main step. You must crush the olive. If you don't crush the olive, you don't get the olive oil. God's saying there must be a crushing in order for the anointing, the oil, in order for the anointing to be released. And look here, Isaiah 53:10. It says, "Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely." That is a tough scripture. A loving God giving his son. And it says, he was pleased to crush him severely. Oh my gosh, why would that please God? Because God knew what was on the other side. God knew that his son would be exalted above every name. And God knew that his son would get everything and everyone that he was going to pay for. And that it was just for a brief moment. A brief moment. This life that we live is a brief moment. This quarantine we're in is a brief moment. For the eternity that we have, that, listen, eternity starts now. Eternity, the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is found in the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and therefore we can access the kingdom of God right now. Eternity starts right now. We just have to be willing to pay the cost. And that is denying ourselves, emptying ourselves, and if need be, allowing ourselves to be crushed. Definitely allowing our desires to be crushed. Definitely allowing what we want in life to be crushed. But also stepping into, if need be, just like the apostles did, they gave up their lives for the kingdom of God. We must also step into that. And that's a strong statement. And in this country, we really don't grasp that because of our freedoms that we're celebrating, our freedoms that we're going to celebrate tomorrow because of sacrifices that have been made. We don't really grasp it, but it's true. We must be ready to step into that calling to be crushed if need be. A church defined is awakened to purpose. That day in the upper room, there was 120 people and they were praying. They had been praying for 10 days. And remember, they had no idea how long they were going to be in that room praying. They just knew they were supposed to wait until the promise came. 120 people in the room praying. And the Holy Spirit comes, the promise comes. And in a matter of hours, if you read in Acts 2:41, in a matter of hours, 3,000 people came to know the Lord, came to believe in the Lord Jesus. The church grew from 120 to 3,120 in a matter of hours. In a city where, honestly, it was going to cost them their lives if it was made known that they had given their lives up and aligned with Jesus. 3,000 people, knowing what had just happened, knowing that the political unrest that was going on, knowing the panic, knowing the fear, said, "I'll sign up for that." Why would they do that? Because when the truth of God was proclaimed boldly by Peter, it says it pierced their heart. And I believe when the Holy Spirit pierced their heart with that truth, it awakened them to their purpose. It awakened them to what they were created for. It awakened them to a reason to live. It awakened them to a reason to die. They were ready to deny themselves. They emptied themselves, and they were willing, if need be, to be crushed. And they believed. They were awakened to their purpose. We have a purpose that we have not seen yet, but it's coming. God will awaken us to our purpose. It's coming. A new season is coming, and we will see that purpose. A church defined is moved to mission. In that upper room, when the Holy Spirit came, it had to have looked like craziness. The people all around came and rushed to see what was going on. They heard the sound, and they accused them all of being drunk. It had to have been craziness. And Peter stands up, and he boldly proclaims, "This that you're seeing is what Joel prophesied long ago. This right here is the Holy Spirit being poured out. And Joel prophesied it a long time ago. And this is that." If you read Acts chapter 2 and what happened in the upper room, and you read what Peter quotes from Joel, those two lists don't line up. There is nothing that happened in the upper room listed in what Joel prophesied. And nothing that Joel prophesied is listed or is mentioned to have happened in Acts chapter 2. Yet Peter stood up and boldly proclaimed, "This is that." He had a mission. He was moved to mission. It didn't matter what it looked like. It didn't matter what it sounded like. It didn't matter what people thought. He stood up and said, "No, this is that. This is what we've been waiting for. This Jesus that was crucified really was the Savior to come. And he was crucified, and he was resurrected, and he is alive now and today. And he is alive now and today, and he has given us this promise of the Holy Spirit to give us reason to live and to give us a reason to lay our lives down. Be awakened, be moved." Peter was moved to mission. And we read earlier in Luke 24, it says that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. I just want to make this point right here. You see, those two things, Joel and Acts chapter 2, they didn't line up. Yet Peter had the understanding to go, "No, this is that." You see, Jesus, anointed with the Holy Spirit, opened their minds to understand the scriptures. It's no different today. We move into the Bible, we move into scriptures, and we go after God with our minds, thinking, "Well, I've got to understand. I don't understand this, and I have to understand before I can step out. I have to understand." And, "Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. I understand. You should listen to me." Listen, the only understanding that we have is because of the Holy Spirit. The only understanding that we have in the scriptures from the Bible is from the Holy Spirit empowering us. I don't know what this new season will look like, but I know that the Holy Spirit will open up our minds in a new way. He will speak to our hearts, and he will open up our minds to understand the scriptures in a new way and to understand what's going on around us in a new way. And that only comes from the Holy Spirit. A church defined is commanded to go. A church defined is commanded to go. Look at Acts 1, verse 8. We've read this a lot in previous messages. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That lines up perfectly with the last commandment that Jesus gave in Matthew, that's recorded in Matthew 28. The last commandment that Jesus gave. "Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." A church defined is commanded to go. Not to sit, not to want to be comfortable, not to be relaxed, but to go. The Holy Spirit, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. He's called the Comforter because in the life that we're called to live, we will need comfort. It will be uncomfortable. But with the Holy Spirit, with the Comforter, we will have comfort. And listen, sitting back and doing nothing, we will not have comfort. We will not have life in abundance. I believe this is a big reason why the church, especially in our culture, the church as a whole, we're not happy. We're not joyful. We don't walk in power. We don't walk in the anointing because we're not doing what we were commanded to do. We're not going. We're sitting back and waiting. We're waiting. And hey, we'll step out. We'll step out, God, if you'll just show me what I'm supposed to do. I'll step out. And God says, no, I said go. And then I'll set it up. Then I'll make the way known. But I'm not going to make the way known until you go, until you take that first step. We are commanded to go. I believe, and this is also a very strong statement, I believe we don't go because we don't believe Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Listen to it again. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I don't believe that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And I don't believe that he's with me always because my actions don't line up with what he commanded me to do. If I believed that, I would be going and going and going, and you couldn't stop me, and you couldn't make me afraid, and you couldn't scare me. Why? Because Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he's with me. And if the one that has all authority is with me, then what do I have to be afraid of? Nothing. You can't hurt me. And if you want to kill this body, great. I'll go to heaven. I'll start eternity with him in that form today, if I believed it. God is calling us right now to count the cost. He's asking us, do you believe? Do you believe what I said is true? That's why he revealed himself for the 40 days, verifying, no, what I said is true. It is absolutely true. Now go and wait, and then I'll send the promise, and then you're going to go, and you're going to make disciples of all nations. We are a church defined is commanded to go. A church defined saves the multitudes. Again, we read in Acts 2:41, 120 people became 3,120 people in a matter of hours. It says in Acts 2:47, every day God added to their number. So they became 3,120 in a matter of hours, and then every day after that, people were still signing up. This is in a time when aligning with Jesus would cost you your life. And they knew that, yet they still signed up. Because a church defined saves the multitudes. A church defined gets empowered with the Holy Spirit and stands up and boldly proclaims, no, this Jesus is the Lord. He is the Savior. He did come. He did take our place on the cross. He was resurrected. He is alive. He does have all authority in heaven and on earth, and he is with us. always to the end of the age. Believe that. It will cost you. You'll have to give up everything. You'll have to give up your way of life. You'll have to lay down your desires. But in return, you get life in abundance. You get what you were created for. You get your purpose. You get a mission. A church defined saves the multitudes, because a church defined has said, we're all in. We're all in. God, whatever you want to do, we're all in. And you don't have to tell us to go anymore. You've already told us we're going. Right now, we are being called to wait. And there is a promise coming. Listen, I believe we're on the brink of the greatest harvest into the kingdom of God that has ever been seen in all of history, maybe combined. And that is a large statement, but I believe it to be true. But God is saying, in order to step into that, you're going to have to wait. And right now I want you to wait, and I want you to make sure you're all in. Because if you're not all in, you won't make it. But if you're all in, it's going to be amazing. God's saying, I need you to be filled with power. The Holy Spirit will come in, fill you to overflow. I will anoint you with the Holy Spirit. God is saying, I will give you a purpose. You will be awakened to the... Many of us are sitting around going, why am I alive? I don't even know why I'm alive. Many people out there are going, I'm not sure I should be alive. Listen, you have a purpose, and God will reveal that purpose to you. Just pursue after him. Start right now. Go into your secret place and pray. And the Holy Spirit will come in and awaken you to your purpose. And he will give you, in that purpose, he will give you a mission. And that mission he can only give you. And that mission you are the only person that can accomplish that mission. Because he knew the plans that he had for you before he ever formed you. And when we have that mission, we will go. And when we go, thousands, millions will come into the kingdom. Maybe billions. Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now to fill every heart. God, I ask you to move on every person right now. Awaken us. Fill us. Let us see the purpose that you have for us. Let us feel the mission that you've given us. God, I ask for a gift of faith on every person watching right now, that you have something that we could never imagine, that we could never think up. Right now, you have that for us, and you want us to come in and lay down everything. God, help us. Help us to get up and lay down everything before you and be all in. The church defined. It's time. The time is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. The time is right now. And the question God is asking is, are you in? Will you wait on me? Will you allow me to come into your life and give you everything that I've ever wanted to give you since before I created you? Amen and amen.